KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. North Korean soldiers fighting for Russia in Ukraine.
South Korea's National Intelligence Service reported that in recent weeks, approximately 1,500 North Korean soldiers were transported to Russia, releasing satellite images they say show those North Korean troops at Russian military bases. And they're estimating in all up to 12,000 soldiers will be sent, though Russia denies this.
ABC's Inez de la Cutera. An investigation is underway following the online leak of purported intelligence documents that appear to show a possible plan for Israel to carry out a retaliatory strike on Iran. Campaigning in a Philadelphia suburb on Sunday, former President Trump manned the fry station at a McDonald's, answering questions through a drive-through window. In Georgia, Vice President Harris summoned black churchgoers to turn out at the polls. She got an assist from Stevie Wonder, who rallied congregants with a cover of Bob Marley's Redemption Song. This is ABC News. A candidate for U.S. Senate from Montana facing questions about his claims to have been shot while serving in Afghanistan. ABC's Dave Packer with the story.
A former park ranger telling ABC News he's positive the bullet wound which Montana GOP Senate candidate Tim Sheehy claims he got while serving in Afghanistan is really from an incident the ranger responded to in 2015 in Glacier National Park. A fine was issued to Sheehy for discharging a weapon at that time. He went to the hospital after the park visit where a bullet was removed from his arm. Former park ranger Kim Peach saying of Sheehy, I'm positive he shot himself that day. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We learned of the death of John Kinsell Sr., one of the last remaining Navajo code talkers from World War II. Kinsell was part of a group that transmitted messages during the war based on the Navajo native language. Japanese cryptologists never figured it out. John Kinsell Sr. was 107 years old when he passed away. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Mino and the Mayor.
We have with us Beckett Kay, who is a 9-year-old podcaster. Who's your favorite player then? I mean, you like
on the Ravens?
In general. In general. Let me guess.
I know what you're going to say, and I'm not going to like it.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't like your sarcasm.
We're talking in prank, too. All right. I happen to like
it's
you guys.
Justin Jefferson.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's going to be another nice one today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming breezy, a shower in the afternoon, and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning on this Monday, October 21st. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm taking over for Farm Director Pam Yonke today while she is out east on a farm tour. And it's looking like we can expect to see that warmer weather stick around for another day with the high in the mid to upper 70s here in Madison. But we'll hear more about that from our ag meteorologist Stu Muck in the Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Also on the docket today, Stephanie Hoff joins the show with Paul Koch to help Wisconsin residents take care of their lawn this fall. Charity Seebecker also joins the show with our friends from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discuss how sustainable agriculture is changing the dairy industry for the better. And coming up next is Bob Bosold as he talks with Peter Vitaliano on how the milk marketing orders may change and why there is a need for reform. Make sure to stick around.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Our next episode with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association takes us to Badger Farms in Deerfield. Dave Meal says you may know their event barn, but he also raises 500 acres of canary grass. He says the specialty forage crop has brought value to fields that were not ideal for growing row crops, and the event barn draws in visitors to keep the farm profitable.
Without the tourism aspect to this, we would not have been as successful if we were just doing the canary grass, because that is so seasonal on the canary grass. It helps covering the overhead, having two sources of income. I've had clients in the past say, thank God for diversification. When the dairy markets are down and the crop markets are up, that helps carry the farm. We're exactly the same way. Having the diversification is huge.
Dave Meal with Badger Farms in Deerfield says you can learn more about how to diversify your farm at gowiagtourism.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed and list corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
In about a month, every dairy barn in the country will probably be affected somehow with new or more modern rules under our federal milk marketing orders. The process to do that didn't come out of nowhere. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and recently at World Dairy Expo, we talked to the man that put all the takes and opinions of the dairy industry together regarding federal milk marketing order reform, Peter Vitaliano, Vice President and Chief Economist with National Milk Producers Federation. He told us the industry felt it was time and it was necessary.
The industry had been aware that over time the current product pricing formulas that are the foundation for the federal order pricing system needed to be kept up to date with the changing structure of the dairy industry. That was their basic function, and they had gotten progressively out of whack. Why it had gotten so far out of whack is another subject for another conversation, but we finally decided to bite the bullet and address it in a systematic fashion. We've spent 4 years at National Milk looking into the entire spectrum of our product pricing formulas under the federal order system, looked systematically at what needed to be updated, looked at basically came up with several proposals to do that, looked at some other things that we decided not to change, that we're still working. We worked together with up to 50 of our member marketing experts and economists from National Milk's member cooperatives. They spent dedicated an awful lot of time and energy and hundreds of meetings, virtual and in person. They come up with a broad spectrum of proposals that we took to USDA. USDA held the hearing. They knew this was long overdue. It was an adversarial hearing between us and the proprietary process. No surprise there. They were doing basically following their economic interests as we were doing with ours. And we came up with, we're in the end stage of that process. We've seen what we're likely to get. And we think it's, by and large, we didn't get everything we wanted. We didn't expect that. But we felt, by and large, this is going to be a good deal to keep the system getting back on track. And it'll be basically a good deal for dairy farmers and their marketing cooperatives.
4 years ago, when you started this process, what did you see were the shortcomings in the system we've been working in this long and needed to be modernized?
First of all, dairy farmers are getting underpaid for the components in their milk. The composition of milk has been increasing in terms of fat and protein and other solids. The formulas that are in place basically reflected milk back even before the year 2000. So dairy farmers had been getting progressively underpaid for the valuable components that were in their milk. We changed that, we fixed it. USDA had to agree, and willingly did so, that the factors that reflect the composition of producer milk had to be kept updated with relatively recent component tests. One of several principles that we advocated, USDA affirmed all of our principles. We basically removed barrel cheese from the product, from the protein component pricing formula. USDA agreed with us on that and did that. The make allowances, a very visible issue that's controversial with farmers, they need to be kept updated for the whole system to work properly. And it was very important for all of the manufacturing cooperatives that are members of National Milk that basically supported increasing those make allowances because they just were no longer reflecting the cost of manufacturing those basic dairy products that drive the entire pricing system.
As we look at the make allowances and you talk to farmers about the make allowances going up, they automatically say that means my milk check is going down.
To some extent, yeah, in what we call a static analysis, that's true. But the price is basically because the federal order formulas do not control or affect the cost of producing milk or the volume of milk that's produced, they really can't long-term control the overall price of milk. We did an economic analysis of our proposals that showed that there'll be an initial small increase in prices, but eventually they'll, after not too many years, they'll kind of revert to what they would have been before. The whole purpose of this is not to raise prices necessarily, but to make the whole process that is designed to promote orderly marketing of milk was getting so out of whack that it was promoting disorderly marketing of milk, particularly milk needed to supply Class 1 fluid milk needs. And we think that the whole system will be much more stable and much more reflective of the actual current structure of the dairy industry. Once
as we look across all the orders which we have, some here in Wisconsin are over 95% manufacturing Class 3. You go further south and you've got Class 1. Is it going to equal out across all these orders?
To some extent, because basically the price of milk in those orders, each of these orders, even though with very different volumes of fluid milk, has reflected that current structure. So I don't expect an awful lot of changes. Yes, the Class 1 is going to kind of see an increase. Don't forget, on paper, the highest price of milk is paid in the southeast, yet their milk is declining there. Does that mean that farmers are getting a huge deal in the southeast? Talk to any southern dairy farmer and they'll talk to you about how tough it is because their costs are higher. Basically, the pricing structure of milk has to reflect the cost of producing it, and the federal order system accomplishes that.
Some farmers are concerned in the dairy industry when you use the term depooling. To some, it's almost like swearing. You know, it's a curse word. So how is this depooling going to work?
There's one order, federal order number one in the Northeast, for historic reasons, have gotten very strong depooling rules. They keep their class three through thick and thin. Their class three is always about 30%. Most of the other orders, by design of the dairy farmers and their marketing cooperatives, who like to have the opportunity to depool milk. The loose depooling rules in most federal orders do create some unhappiness among certain producer groups, but other producer groups are going to keep them in place. Don't forget, it's dairy farmers who vote in the orders and vote on amendments to the orders. If dairy farmers in any one order had wanted tougher pooling rules, all they have to do is go to a hearing and ask for it, and it will happen. The fact that it hasn't happened indicates to me that dairy farmers and their cooperatives basically like the current system. Not uniformly, but there's always enough representation of dairy farmers in almost any order. They like the system the way it is now, warts and all.
So as we go forward with all these federal orders, there is the opportunity to vote coming up in November, it looks like. What happens if somebody votes their order out?
Voting on federal orders has always been all or nothing. You either vote the recommended amended order or you vote your order out. Orders have been voted out in the past. I do not expect any of the current orders to be voted out. But it could happen. But producers need to think very carefully about that. And it helps the producers mostly block vote through their cooperatives. And the cooperatives understand the value of the orders. Don't forget, orders, besides pricing and pooling of milk, they set up rules that ensure that dairy farmers get paid for their milk. Very important. So you may want to think very carefully before you decide that you don't want that protection of payments.
What's a better term? Maybe they both apply equally for federal milk marketing orders. Changes or modernization?
We like modernization. Early in the process, people were talking about reform. Well, federal order reform was put into place in 2000. All we're doing at this point is updating the dairy product pricing formulas. That's all that this whole hearing was about, even though it was a record-setting hearing. So I would call it modernization because the whole purpose was to update the federal order pricing formulas to more closely reflect the structure of the modern dairy industry.
Peter Vitaliano, again, as we said, chief economist with the National Milk Producers Federation, modernization of the federal milk marketing orders. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In separate rulings October 16th, courts in Alabama and Nebraska sided with voters over zealous state officials, protecting the right to register and vote in the 2024 election. In August, the Alabama Secretary of State announced a purge of registered voters who had or once had a non-citizen identification number issued with a federal green card as a legal resident alien. But many of those registered are now naturalized citizens. A federal district court judge ruled that Alabama must halt that process and restore voting rights to those affected, citing longstanding federal law requiring purges to be completed 90 days or earlier from an election. The Nebraska Supreme Court rejected an attempt by the Secretary of State to subvert a 20-year-old state law allowing formerly incarcerated Nebraskans convicted of a felony to register and vote. Secretary of State Robert Enven cited an opinion by the Nebraska Attorney General that only the Nebraska Board of Pardons could restore that right. He directed election officials in July to ignore the law and stop registering those citizens. The state Supreme Court's reversal of that order affects as many as 7,000 returning citizens. Those already registered will automatically be restored, and those eligible have until October 25th to register in person. We have resources to check a registration at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes Just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
LaCrosse 83, about everybody else 84. So, you know, we're going to be in that neighborhood. I don't guarantee a record because there are going to be some clouds and some changes trying to build in. And the big one is some rain. We can talk about rain in southwest Nebraska, western Kansas this morning. That's a long way off, I know. Is it actually going to make its way to Wisconsin? Well, what's going to happen is a low-pressure system over Kansas is going to push north up toward Minnesota, and a cool front will try to wedge in out of the northwest, kind of a stationary front on the U.S.-Canadian border from North Dakota west. These may work together and eventually drop into the Badger State. That possibility of some rain trying to wedge in into Tuesday or Tuesday night. No, I don't expect it to be a big deal. Not going to end any of the extreme dry conditions we've developed here, but a little rainfall is a possibility later Tuesday into Tuesday night, and then that's going to clear out. The biggest thing that happens behind that cold front is temperatures really drop off from almost records today to still well above normal tomorrow. We'll drop to normal or a bit below as we look at Wednesday, and then turn around again, pushing it back up a bit Thursday, Friday, and on into the weekend. We're not settling into the deep freeze or really getting into that late fall weather, but we get a little cool down as we make our way toward Wednesday and some warm up later on. Hopefully we get a little rain to make a bit of a difference for how dry it's been here as of late. But that forecast and that possibility for a little later Tuesday or Tuesday night doesn't appear to be all that great. I think we'll take any rain we get. There's no doubt about that. And that little cooler temperature might not feel all that uncomfortable for about a day when we look toward Wednesday. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Stu, it's been very dry out there, and that's causing some fire issues. What are you seeing in the forecast that might help out?
Well, that little rain chance toward later Tuesday, let's hope that makes a little difference for everybody. Now, there have been a couple of combine fires in this area over near the Fond du Lac area in the past few weeks, so we know things have dried down and we've had more of a problem with that. Today, not going to help. Again, sunny skies, not too breezy, but temps very warm. There'll be a lot of upper 70s or low 80s all across the state, and the southwest and west winds will be around 5 to 10. Overnight, a few clouds build in. We stay fairly mild. Upper 40s in the far northwest, more likely low 50s elsewhere with those south winds 5 to 10. It's Tuesday that there'll be some sun, oh, even a few more clouds, and that slight chance of showers. The possibility could pop up later in the morning in the west, later day further south and east, but temps in the low 70s or even upper 60s with the south winds 5 to 15, a bit of a rain chance Tuesday night. And by Wednesday, I talked about it, Ben, sunny skies, a lot cooler. The warm spots could be in the upper 50s. In the north, we may only be in the near 50 or even upper 40s. The northwest winds 5 to 15, but it bounces right back. I mean, we're pushing back into the upper 50s and 60s Thursday and Friday. Maybe a little rain chance toward Friday, Ben. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that one.
Yeah, and I don't know about anyone else, but this weather, the allergies, when it gets warm out, I just start snotting up.
the dust and the, no good at all.
Yeah, it's, I just hate it when that happens, especially during harvest season here.
You're not alone. I bet everybody would agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Stu. That was your Compeer Financial Ag weather update. Compeer Financial is your partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compeer Financial for more.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What yes, happens when a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. North Korean soldiers fighting for Russia in Ukraine.
South Korea's National Intelligence Service reported that in recent weeks, approximately 1,500 North Korean soldiers were transported to Russia, releasing satellite images they say show those North Korean troops at Russian military bases. And they're estimating in all up to 12,000 soldiers will be sent, though Russia denies this.
ABC's Inez de la Cutera. An investigation is underway following the online leak of purported intelligence documents that appear to show a possible plan for Israel to carry out a retaliatory strike on Iran. Campaigning in a Philadelphia suburb on Sunday, former President Trump manned the fry station at a McDonald's, answering questions through a drive-through window. In Georgia, Vice President Harris summoned black churchgoers to turn out at the polls. She got an assist from Stevie Wonder, who rallied congregants with a cover of Bob Marley's Redemption Song. This is ABC.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Two Rivers couple charged in the death of the woman's three-year-old son made their first court appearance Friday on new charges. The Manitowoc County Court Commissioner set bail at $500,000 for Jesse Vang and $400,000 for Katrina Bauer. Elijah Vu had been missing for 7 months before his body was found last month. The cranberry harvest is underway, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
David Zawatowski from Lake Nokomis Cranberry says you can support farmers by buying local, and now's the perfect time.
You can stock up this time of the year, put them in the freezer,
take them out all year long, add them to your salads. You know, I like cranberry sauce and everything.
Farmers are now harvesting, which was complicated by the freeze earlier this week. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin grows 60% of the nation's cranberries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Texans 24-22 thanks to a walk-off field goal. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs had a big day, rushing for 76 yards. He also got his first ever touchdown catch despite 212 career receptions.
You know, it was long overdue. You know, we talked about it all week at practice. It was like, man, this is the week that we're going to get you. We had like three or four plays in the red zone for me. So, man, you know, I appreciate my coaches and, you know, the teammates wanted me to get that, calling it for that situation, man, and it was fun, man. First Limbo Elite, well, official Limbo Elite, you know, it was a good one.
The Badgers beat Northwestern in Evanston 23-3. Wisconsin strength and conditioning coach Brady Collins challenged the players, saying he'd jump in Lake Michigan if they got the win.
He was going to go in the lake, whether they were going to throw him in the lake or he was going to jump in the lake, and about 3.5 minutes ago in the game, I looked back to one of the guys and said, make sure we find a path to get him to that lake, so it was a great celebration.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll find out what 9-year-old podcaster Beckett Kays got to say about Sunday's game.
And we'll check in with Mike Pritzel and get an update on hurricane relief efforts in Florida. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's going to be another nice one today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming breezy, a shower in the afternoon, and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
The man, A.J. Dillon.
I love what you're doing with this Dillon Family Foundation.
It started around things that are important to us, so food and families. Us having a one-year-old son, and it's meant to empower families within the community and also combat hunger and food insecurity. We're really, really trying to do a lot for the community.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said, sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and today I'm taking over for the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke. And it's looking like it may be a good day to get out on the water and try to crank some bass. If you do head out there, I'd be looking around rocky drop-offs, creek channels, and some weeds. Around the drop-offs to get some smallies, I would suggest throwing a deep-diving crankbait or a jerkbait or even a plastic swim bait that, or really just anything that looks like a minnow since the fish are in their late fall feeding pattern trying to fatten up for the winter. Around the creek channels, I'd throw something shiny like a spinnerbait or a chatterbait to go with the current and try to force some of those reaction bites. Around the weeds, I would also throw some spinners and try to get some topwater as well as maybe a jig to punch through the weeds and get down to the hungry largies. Stay safe out there in the water and good luck. Now, Charity Seebecker joins us with our friends from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to tell us how sustainable agriculture is changing dairy farming for the better. Take it away, Charity.
Farmers have long prioritized the health of their land, air, water, and animals, a tradition that spans generations. The recent Dairy Producer Survey shows that this commitment is still strong in Wisconsin's dairy industry. Joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff is Chad Vincent. He's the CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, and he shares insights on how the survey highlights Wisconsin's reputation as America's Dairyland.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin works with Department of Ag to do a survey with the farmers directly every handful of years. So the last time was in 2020. The new survey tells us that over 80% of the farmers are actually really active in caring for their land in terms of growing their own feed. And what's really cool is that, you know, cover crops is coming back into fashion. And now we have over 60% of farmers incorporating cover crops. And that really helps retain the soil. It's a really wonderful thing. And almost 70% have a nutrient management plan now.
Those are some great numbers. But how do you think this connects to what consumers are looking for then in terms of these sustainable farming practices?
You know, consumers are really where the rubber hits the road, and everybody's talking about environment and about sustainability. And what we found from consumers is that they really want to know that the farmers are taking care of the land and that they're taking care of the animals and the water and the air. And the survey says that they're absolutely delivering in ACEs. Consumers want to know that progress is happening, that the farmers do actually care about the land and about the environment and the neighborhood and areas that they live in.
And as we mentioned, these consumers, they care about making sure that these farmers are taking care of their land. And cow care is something we know is also on their minds. But I know from my time growing up on the farm, it's also on the minds of our farmers every day as well. So what do we know about how our Wisconsin dairy farmers are taking care of these cows?
Well, you know, the cows are a livelihood in many ways. Cows are actually an extended part of the family. 88% of the farmers work with a veterinarian on a regular basis. And actually 8 out of 10 bring in a nutritionist for their dairy feed program to make sure that the cows are absolutely getting the best feed to keep them healthy and productive.
Absolutely. You take your kids to the doctor. Well, this is their version of the doctor coming to them, right?
Every week, yep.
It always amazes me just how much we've improved. But of course, you know, we're always working to improve even more. So looking ahead, what excites you the most about the future of Wisconsin dairy farming? I'm sure there's probably a few different things on your mind.
There's so much positive things happening within Wisconsin dairy and dairy overall. But I think one of the coolest things is that, you know, 99% of Wisconsin's dairies are family operated and family owned. And that's up even more from the last time we did the survey in 2020. And I would venture a guess that the percentage or two that are not family owned are actually multiple families joining together to run the organizations. So Wisconsin is really on trend within the industry. And these are all family run and family owned operations. I also think that the good news is that over 80% of the farmers that are in play today or operating today believe that they'll continue to be operating a dairy farm in the next 5 years. So the next generation is starting to come back on board, and there's a strong future for farms to remain active and healthy in the state. And then to help them keep healthy and to help continue to build markets for them, exports continue to grow. So right now, Wisconsin, almost 16% of our milk is sold to products that end up outside the country. And that's up significantly from even just a few years ago. Export markets, 95% of the world's population that lives outside the U.S. And that's really where the market has to go in order for farmers to continue to find solid prices, solid markets, and demand for the amazing milk products that they produce.
And you guys have so many different resources and information available for these farmers to learn more, as well as consumers who want to learn more about dairy farmers of Wisconsin or just the dairy industry as a whole. So where can they go and find this information?
Well, you know, the easiest way to find it is at www.wisconsindairy.org. Just an amazing amount of information on that site. And also, just reach out to anybody in our organization. We're happy to meet with you. We're happy to talk to you and give you insights in terms of what's happening with dairy farming and the great practices and all the wonderful things that are happening with the dairy farmers and the processors that turn the milk into amazing cheese and ice cream and butter every day.
And what role do you think that consumers are playing in shaping the future of Wisconsin's dairy industry? You know, it goes hand in hand. You know, our dairy farmers, they're consumers just the same alongside these other consumers who are out there.
There really is. And once again, the businesses that succeed are ones that listen to the end consumers and make sure we're delivering what they want. And the good news is that we're one of the most cost-efficient and tasty proteins on the planet. And protein is really what something consumers are more and more looking for. And we also deliver incredible taste and joy with the products. So it's not just about delivering the health benefits, but it's also delivering the enjoyment, the time with family and enjoying ice cream and the wonderful tasting cheeses that our state makes.
Chad Benson, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. For those interested in exploring more about Wisconsin's rich dairy heritage and the innovative practices shaping its future, visit wisconsindairy.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thank you, Charity. And coming up next, we'll get you your morning markets. Make sure to stick around.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report. And last week, I went over to the Helena West Bend location to check out their ride and drive event they put on for the high school students. I talked with Dino from Helena, and he was able to give me an inside look as to why they started this program and how it has progressed over the last 6 years.
So the ride and drive event is meant for high school students, some ag, some FFA, some non-ag. And the whole idea was that we wanted to give them a hands-on experience of what it is we really do in retail agriculture. So today we've got seven of our machines out here. They're liquid and dry. We actually have a student out there with an experienced operator, and they're each going to get about 20 minutes of drive time to see how the GPS works, how AutoSteer works, how the machine maps. We learned that telling them what we do with this kind of application or this kind of work doesn't work so well, but if we can show them, if we can put them in the cab, let them drive, let them touch it, feel it, taste it, smell it, much, much better experience. It's 100% smiles.
When I asked Dina what he hopes the kids get out of this experience, he said this.
Well, we want to educate as many of them as we can on what it is we actually do here in Production Ag. We also have entry-level positions that are available in the summertime, so we promote for that, too. They need to be 18 and have a valid driver's license, obviously, for that to work. But we're planting seeds for these people for in the field. We talk ag careers as well, kind of give them some ideas of what tech school programs and four-year programs are available and what's out there. So just all around want to promote agriculture.
And how have you seen this event grow through the years since it started 6 years ago? Like how many, what's the increase of schools that have attended and students been like?
Well, the first year we started with Slinger and it went so well, we decided, you know, let's see if we can get another school. That was 2018. So we've grown it to 7 schools this year. Our goal is to bring in one new school a year. This year we've got Oconomowoc. Today is Mayville. We have Oakfield, Lamira, Slinger, Hartford, and Random Lake. So 7 schools will be here. Last year we had 82 kids. This year I think we're going to go a little bit past 100.
Dino says that they are excited to help spread the word of agriculture and hope this event continues to grow in the future. Now let's take a look at the morning markets from Chicago. We're seeing a lot of green in the grain markets this morning, with December corn up 1.5 at 406.25. November soybeans are also showing some strength, up 5.5 at 975.5. December wheat is up 1.75 at 574.5. And July wheat is also up 1.75 at 611. Class 3 milk contracts for November are up 6 cents at 21.25 a hundredweight. In December, Class 3 milk contracts are down a penny at 21.34 a hundredweight. With a look at your markets from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The green and gold tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
And turfgrass extension specialist Paul Koch works with commercial businesses and homeowners alike on their lawns. He gives us all the tips on what we can do now to have a strong lawn come spring.
Fall is a great time of year to work on your lawn. Different aspects are more important at different times of the fall. But fall is really a great time of year because our temperatures have come down from the hot and humid conditions during the summer. And in most years, we have some consistent rains. This year, it's been pretty dry, so we don't have that nice, consistent soil moisture. But most falls, or most years, it's a great time of year to do a lot of different work on your lawn.
When do you decide to do that last cutting on your lawn, and how short? Because you want it to come back nice and full in the spring.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as far as mowing in the fall, you mow until it's done growing, right? There's not a lot of, you know, exact science that we normally recommend with that. When you notice that it's not really growing, then you can kind of stop mowing for the year. We don't normally recommend mowing short, that last mowing. I know that's oftentimes been recommended in the past. And the point of mowing short really is to get rid of a lot of the leaf material and the fluff that might lie down and then trap moisture and cause snow mold, which is an important fungal disease that can occur on lawns. We don't normally see a lot of damage from snow mold on lawns. And oftentimes, if you mow really short that last mowing, you can kind of shock the plant because a lot of that green leaf material is how it's producing and storing its energy for the winter. And if you remove a lot of that, you can kind of shock the plant, make it less likely to survive the winter. And also you're going to have a more open canopy, which next spring can lead to more weeds that come in. So we normally just recommend your normal mowing height you've been all year long and just do it until it stopped growing. So normally, depending on where you're at in the state, that's going to be somewhere in early, mid to late November, depending on the year.
Back to the organic matter in the lawn. Should you leave your leaves on your grass? Should you be raking them up?
Yeah, we've been doing some research in my program. We actually have a USDA-funded grant that's looking at the impact of leaving the tree leaves on the lawn and actually mowing them in. And so we're 2 years into that three-year grant. And what we found is that you can really add a pretty significant amount of organic matter, which is really beneficial for most lawn soils. And there's really no, if you chop it up with a lawnmower, if you mulch it up with a lawnmower, there's really no damage come the next spring, assuming that you can see some of that of your grass coming through those leaves. So our recommendation is not to rake them up and put them on the side, but also not to just leave them on the lawn. But it's to mow through them, mulch them up with your mower, and spread them out enough that you can see the grass starting to come through. If you can do that, you're going to add some nutrients, you're going to add some organic matter to your lawn, and save some work, right? You're not going to have to mow them all to the curb and have the city take them away.
Granted, what you do that's good for the grass is also going to be good for the weeds. I have a horrible time with broadleaf weeds coming up and ruining my grass. Is there something I can be doing in the fall to make sure that I stifle them?
Fall is actually the best time of year to control perennial weeds with herbicides. So if you're looking at using herbicides to control tough to control perennial weeds like Creeping Charlie, plantain, some of those really hard ones. Fall is the best time of year after sort of our first hard frost. So the northern part of the state has had some good hard frosts. The southern part hasn't yet, but it looks like coming up soon we'll have some good frosts coming. And so after that first hard frost is really a great time of year to apply an herbicide, because what happens is the weed actually, once that first hard frost comes, the weed starts to say that it's ready for us to get ready for winter. So it's going to start to move its nutrients down underground to get ready for the upcoming winter. And if you apply an herbicide at that time, it's going to take the herbicide with it and provide a more complete control of the underground storage parts of the weed. So it's really, fall is a great time of year to control perennial weeds. Totally worthless for annual weeds, like crabgrass or anything like that. But for perennial weeds, dandelions, plantains, Creeping Charlie, clover, it's a great time of year to apply an herbicide.
It must be, because I see my neighbors out there spraying for weeds. Sometimes, though, the whole lawn ends up dead. And I just want you to underscore for us maybe the importance of reading the label.
Oh, gosh, I know. Every year I travel around and we get calls about mistakes. And there's been new products that have come on the market in the recent years, like Roundup for Lawns and normal Roundup. And so if you just see Roundup on there, it doesn't always mean that it's glyphosate, right? It doesn't always mean that it kills all the plants. So definitely look carefully. Those are never good calls to get when somebody applies something that they think is going to only kill the weeds and it kills everything. There's just not a lot you can do about that besides reseed. So that's never a fun situation to be in, and read those product labels carefully.
Paul Koch joining us in studio from the OJ Knorr Turfgrass Research Station on the west side of Madison. Paul is a UW-Madison professor and extension specialist. And as he said, don't wait for spring to get your lawn beautified. There are steps you can take now to improve your property or just make it easier for next year. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you to all of our listeners that joined us this morning, and I hope you're able to get outside and enjoy the beautiful weather today. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wy.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
How things are moving along with respect to right to repair today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
In the past 4 years, the federal government and more states have enacted laws and policies to advance what is known as right to repair. Basically, this removes restrictions on equipment users from fixing their own devices, including ag machinery. Ross Pfeiffer heads the Center for Agricultural and Shale Law at Penn State University.
Is this momentum for state legislation going to continue? Because we definitely have seen that in the last few years. And is that going to continue moving forward where we have a larger number of states, a larger number of products that are provided or that are covered under right to repair? And then will we see federal legislation?
Pfeiffer says it's conceivable.
So we have kind of this parallel track. We have legal developments. We also have kind of the voluntary process as well. Whether progress is being made, I think that's probably an issue for people to make their own determination as to what they believe progress constitutes, but there definitely are legal developments that have taken place. Whether that is ultimately going to satisfy the demand that farmers have, we'll have to wait and see.
To learn more, visit the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We have with us Beckett Kay, who is a 9-year-old podcaster. Who's your favorite player then? I mean, you like
on the Ravens?
In general. In general. Let me guess.
I know what you're going to say, and Patrick, I'm not going to like it.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't like your sarcasm.
We're talking in prank too. All right. I happen to like
it. It's Justin Jefferson.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.